Hey, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us this morning in worship. It is great to see you over the airwaves. And hey, just real quick, a couple announcements for you. You know, we in this season have been really blessed with technology and being able to use these video conferencing tools, Google Hangouts, Zoom, etc. There's a lot of opportunities to get plugged in, even though we're not able to be physically together. There are opportunities to be still virtually together. And the men, for example, last Monday had 18 men join up for our weekly Wild Men hangout. And it is just a blessing to be a part of. The women have their own opportunities. And so I'd encourage you, get plugged in, reach out to Pastor Andrew, Reed, myself. We'd love to get you plugged in. A lot of that information can be found on our website. And during the season, if you're looking for information, updates on the church, contact info, all of that, it's all on the website, and including opportunities to give. While the church, we may not be meeting together physically, the expenses are still going, and that need for donations is still present. So we'd encourage you to check out our website. As we transition into worship, I just want to impress upon you, you know, I and Janae have been praying throughout the season, you know, and we've had to kind of get a heart check rather than praying, you know, Lord, like, man, when is this going to be over? Like, when can I go back to work? When can we just get some normal life again? When is Sandtrap going to be, you know, open more often? That's my question. So anyways, whatever it is, you know, we want to encourage you, hey, you know, instead, shift that prayer. Lord, what are you trying to show me during this season? What are you teaching me? What are you working on? What's going on here? What are you trying to work and manifest in us? And so I pray that for you today, that the Lord would be giving you clarity, strength, encouragement throughout all this. And hey, what better way to do that than through song and praise? So join me as we worship together.
Never said it would be easy. Never said there'd be no pain. But you promised you'd go with me, and your promises you'll always keep. But I confess how much I need you. I confess that I am weak. I can't promise I won't fail you, but your promises will not fail me. When in the valley, I will fear no evil. When enemies surround me, you prepare a table. Surely goodness and mercy will follow. There is beauty in the struggle. You don't waste a single day. Your presence is my shelter. Your presence is my victory. Oh. When I'm in the valley, I will fear no evil. When enemies surround me, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go.
Thank you. that we get to be still in your presence. Thank you for fighting for us, Jesus, on our behalf. Lord, all we have to do is be still and know that you are our God. And we thank you, Father, because you've already won the battle. Help us this morning to open our hearts and our ears and our eyes to what it is you have for us. And may you be glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Avalon Community Church Online Services. This is Pastor Andrew, and a very special welcome to those of you listening here in Avalon. Maybe you're not a church member, but you're from our community, and you're checking this whole God thing out. You're curious with everything that's happening in the world. God has your attention, and you're online listening today. I welcome you, and stick with it. Keep coming back. God has something, and he has the answers for you, and others can help you with that. If you're one of our church members, I can't wait to see you. I really can't, because I know this online thing has got to be frustrating, but hang in there. Nothing will be like when we finally are able to hold services again and see each other. Maybe you're listening from one of our coves down the Catalina Island coastline on the leeward side here. You're in a cabin or a bungalow, and you're listening today. I love it. And I'm thinking about you. We lift up our Cove members in prayer all the time, and a welcome to you as well. For all of us, there is an incredible gospel opportunity happening on the planet right now for a window of time. C.S. Lewis writes, "Pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world." It's an amazing quote. Ransom Heart this week has had some wonderful things that they put out, and I've been listening. It's also got my questions flowing as to what my priorities are here during this quarantine time. What is our firm foundation right now? Does the church need to be shaken? Is it okay for everything to be shaken right now? I want to pray this morning before we get started. For a global revelation of Jesus, I want to pray for a great awakening, an outpouring of the Spirit of God on the earth. And let me quickly add that this begins with us, okay? Those of you listeners that are considered the people of God, we have lived in a world that has been too familiar to us, just golf carts, golf, cruise ship day, making a fast buck here and there where we can, and some revenue. Cupcakes, Netflix, the comfort zone, and we have divided our attention for God and compromised our affection for God. And repentance begins with us, the church, the house of God, the people of God. We don't need to make our desire to return to comfort as our first priority more than we yearn to see an outpouring of the Spirit of God on the earth. Let me ask you, would a few years of genuine suffering be worth the greatest awakening that the world has ever known, preceding the return of Jesus himself? Or our hearts are divided on that, possibly, wanting the same thing that we've had before, and our kids, just get the kids back in school. Hey, if we can fire up prom and graduation, that'd be great. How about we just have our normal routines open up again? If you're listening over town on the mainland, maybe get the gym opened up again, our favorite sports back on TV. My friends, what is our firm foundation? Do we need to make God our foundation again? He is our hope. Do we need to fix our hope solely on him again? God is the one that has our future. Are we looking to him for a future? You see, the church needed to be shook up. We needed to return to our first love with our whole heart. And I'm embarrassed to admit, what the events in my own personal life over the last few weeks have revealed about me. I find myself wanting to get back into my normal life versus a great awakening for mankind. And I'm more upset about my kids, you know, my kid missing a college graduation than I am about some of the greater losses that others are experiencing. So friends of Jesus, let's not miss this moment. Let's pray with passion today. The revelation of Jesus in the world. Jesus, we come into agreement right now that no weapon formed against our peace will prosper. No weapon formed against our joy will prosper. Set in the presence of God, anything is possible. No, we can't touch each other right now. However, let's all say amen together. 1, 2, 3. Amen. If you know that God is fighting for you and you know that God is for all things, say amen to this. Let's agree together that God is with us in the moment. May his favor be upon you for 1,000 generations, for your children and their children and their children. May his presence come before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you. He is for you. God is for you. The Lord wants me to tell you today, here comes the church. I know we can't come to church right now, but church is coming to you, which was never supposed to be something that we came to like an event or an activity. So it can't be canceled because this is not what we do. It's who we are. And here comes the church. Right here in your, you know, kitchen or living room, maybe you're listening in your bedroom, right next to your hospital room, if you're listening from your hospital room, right to your depression, right to your anxiety, right to your fear. Nothing that comes against you is bigger than God. Amen? Here comes church. The enemy comes at us like a flood. Here comes church. Here comes grace. Here comes mercy and praise. We need to populate your room or wherever you're listening from right now with praise. We give it all to you, God. Give it all to you. Thank you. Thank you for a blessing of a Sunday, our Sabbath today. In Jesus' name, amen. What I'm trying to drive to today is whatever else Jesus is up to right now, and this pandemic and all of the political and economic and social upheaval is a shaking. And this presents to us an incredible gospel opportunity for a window of time. I'll say it again, for a window of time. People are suddenly aware of how fragile life is and how fragile culture is. Stability and things like jobs, healthcare, retirement, accounts. For this unique moment, millions are searching for solid ground. I heard this week through one of our Ransom Heart broadcasts that Bible sales have skyrocketed. Isn't that incredible? Online churches are seeing record attendance. Tens of thousands of people are attending online services that never would before or have come to church before. Some of the most sought after Christian websites, including Ransom Heart, one of my favorite, have had people looking for prayer online specifically to receive Jesus as their Savior. That's exciting. That's exciting. Isn't that great? Matthew 18, verse 19, Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 says, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Verse 20 says, for where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. We harbor all of these strange concepts as to what church is. It has to be a building or church pews like in Avalon's case, stained glass and But Jesus tells us something right here in Matthew chapter 18. It's very interesting. Let's say you're listening to the sermon live in the evening by yourself or in another location of the world, perhaps. And if we can agree together, guess what we can have? We can have church. That's awesome. Say amen if you think that God is still in control, my friends. Although we are not physically present, we are connected. We're using the internet to bring church to you today. Thank you to those behind the scenes making this recording happen. The staff at Avalon Church, thank you for behind the scenes and the work you're putting into this. Faith is a language, and God is cross-cultural. And God can descend from heaven. Therefore, he can probably reach us right now through the screen today. It is truly an honor to preach to you today. Who knows what's happening on the other end of these screens or phones or iPads or PCs? Who knows? Just like Jacob felt at the well, sometimes we only need awareness to know that we are in the presence of God. Even though we can't travel to be with each other today, we can still be in God's presence. Amen? Yeah. There's no restrictions to his presence, my friends. And I'm so grateful to be able to be with you today. I mean it. Thank you for tuning in. The joy of the Lord is our immunity to what's going on in this world. And I know the world is a mess right now. A lot of people angry. Some of them overjoyed. Some of them just so crazy wanting to jump right back into the routine and work, opening up. However, I think the Lord has positioned this church for miracles, a huge miracle. Not trying to minimize all the misery and that people are experiencing right now. There's a lot of tragedy going on, but I've heard before the phrase, no mess, no ministry. And what that means is that God does his best work in our biggest mess. We're looking at worship. We're looking at word, the word of God, and wisdom. Three things that are going to get you through any storm. I spent some time this week studying the topic about positioning for a miracle. A lot of times we want the miracle without the mess. Like the story of Jesus restoring the blind man, spitting into some mud and rubbing it on his eyes. That was a mess, but he received his sight. One of my go-to miracles, it's one of my favorites, when things around me are not stable or don't appear to be stable, is found in Joshua chapter 3. And I know this is hard to believe, but you are in a position for a miracle, my friends. Desperation is the setup for revelation. Fear is not something to be rejected. It's something that needs to be worked through. In God's gymnasium, fear in our spirit is like weights to our muscles. We feel fear, and it gives us an opportunity to exercise faith. We need some go-to Bible verses that we can read when we don't have time to read through the Bible. Joshua 3 is one of my favorites. It's about crossing the Jordan, the children of Israel. We're looking at chapter 3 of Joshua, verse 1. I'm reading from the NIV. And if you have a Bible, pull it up. Verse 1 says, "Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it." Verse 5. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Verse 9, Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Havites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. Holy cow. Verse 11, see, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. Guys, we're in a position here for a miracle. All right, they're setting themselves up for a miracle. Verse 14 says, so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Verse 15, now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Dead Sea was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Verse 17, the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by, until the whole nation had completely crossed on dry ground. My friends, what a story. What an amazing event in history. I love reading that. They set themselves up for a miracle in the time of just a lot of despair, and look what happened. Look what happened. Dry ground completely. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good of those who love God. They love him and have been called according to his purpose. And I used to read this passage wrong for many years and assume that everything was good. What are we going through today is not good. My friends, disease is not good. Someone losing their job right now, not good. The Bible says that all things work together for good when God gets involved. When God steps in the hopeless situations, he positions us for miracles in the middle of a mess. And in Joshua 3, the Jewish people are coming into their miracle. They're coming into their destiny, yet they perceive it as disruption. I mean, think of yourself in that situation too. Are you seriously telling me that these waters are going to stand up? There's too much distraction right now. So let's get focused on this while we're sequestered in our homes this week. Maybe, you know, your children being so loud around the house and things get, you know, crazy from all the quarantine and you end up yelling at them to stop screaming. Consider the point, you know, here you are yelling at the kids while they're yelling. And this has inspired me this week, the study of Joshua 3, when God says, stop. We all need to stop. Stop watching CNN, Fox News, CNBC, MSNBC, you've watched enough. There comes a point when God says stop. We have to consider Joshua 3 as a point of entrance into the promised land. To enter a land they were to now occupy and to end a prior season they want to still call normal. And this is profound when you think about it. In order for God to bring something new, he has to disrupt what is normal. The passage is going to have us look at things differently as to when we leave one season and into a new. But Joshua chapter 3, God's hand is on us. I love how his hand was on those people. And I want to remind you that we're going somewhere. My friends, if you're listening, Avalon, we're headed somewhere. He's taking us somewhere. And if you're listening across the miles, I'm letting you know God is going to do something. He is in the process of it right now. God will not forsake us, nor will he abandon us. God will lead us, feed us, guide us, protect us. And he promised he would. He promised he would. Typically, we want God to be our ride, but he is our guide. We incorrectly consider, like God is an Uber driver. Take me here. I want a new job. I want my kids to get straight A's and go to Stanford or Harvard or Yale. And we're going to learn today something important. When God says stop, we stop seeing God as a means. And we should understand him to be the end. To know him. Be strengthened by him. And even though we're going somewhere, it's not important that God takes me somewhere like an Uber driver. It's what he shows me along the way. Let's not miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, friends. The most important thing we can do. The opportunity before the church right now is this gospel moment. It's not the reset to a slower pace of life. It's not even political leadership. Those aren't the main things in God's mind. It's the eternal destiny so many hearts and souls need with him. My friends, pray for a great awakening. This is a pivotal moment in our lives as well, because we're not sure of the destination for how long the coronavirus is going to dominate our headlines. And after that, how long is it going to terrorize our economy? God taught me a few things this week. Stop thinking you're the only one is the first thing. You're not the only one that is scared. You're not the only one that's struggling. We've lived in that world of, Amazon Fire, Netflix, baking cookies all day. Folks soon will no longer be thinking of eternal things. We've been swept along at a pace and distraction. We've had divided attention, and we've even compromised our affection for God through this whole process. I know I've seen that in my own life. Repentance begins in the house of God. It begins with his people. We mustn't secretly desire a quick return to our comforts more than we yearn to see an outpouring of the Spirit of God on the earth. Stop thinking we're on the same boat. No, we are not. This situation affects us all very differently. To some, the present shutdown represents a break from work and a welcome interruption to the rhythm. But someone else in our church just laid off a few employees this week, and they feel very differently. Those employees. Stop putting ourselves at the center of a struggle, because this tends to be a bit arrogant. Stop thinking that we're the only ones to have to go through anything. When we get self-centered, my friends, we get short-sighted. Not understanding our frame of reference can be detrimental to our revelation of God's power. We're all going through things together. And yet, while we're going through the same storm, no, we're not in the same boat. Some are weathering the storm in a battleship, and some weathering the storm in a kayak. When I said God is positioning us for a miracle earlier, I think that God is positioning us for the miracle of empathy. To stop disagreeing about petty and stupid stuff. I mean, good night. I don't even look at some of the social media through some of our Catalina things that are being said. It's just difficult. Somebody change my password, please. Okay? It's that bad. It's amazing when you think about it that in Joshua 3, 2 million people had to get organized and do something together. Where I can barely get, you know, my 4 grown kids across the miles to slow down or call us, let us know what's going on. It was a miracle that Joshua was able to get all of the people across the river. And we have a very difficult time appreciating a miracle when we're in it. We have a very difficult time appreciating good moments when we're in them. It's always nice to reflect on the good old days. And we want to be anywhere but here, like present, in the present. And God tells us in Joshua 3 to stop and be present. I knew things were getting bad when March Madness and the NBA season were canceled. And things just got real when that happened. It's amazing how the little things in Scripture come alive when you stop and think about them. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim. Okay, and by the way, it's a long I. And went into the Jordan River, the place where God always reveals identity, where Jesus went to be baptized. Remember the Jordan River? Where God shows us who we really are based on what he brings us through. Hang on a second here. Needed that swig of water there. This really spoke to me this week. When we're going through something, the goal is not to just merely get through it. The goal is for God to show us something that'll make us better when we get to the other side. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. I want to be better on the other side. It's going to be different. We're not going back to normal. We're going to be better when we get to the other side of this. We have to go into this thing with assurance. Otherwise, we'll be like the scared Jewish people that wandered in the wilderness for 40 years on the wrong side of the Jordan. Here's a little bonus. Where Moses was denied the opportunity to witness the entrance into the promised land, God did not stop the Jewish people from accessing the promised land. They got stuck in temptation, stuck in unbelief, stuck in fear. When I gave this additional thought, God told me they didn't get stuck. The Jewish people just stopped. There was nothing that was keeping Jewish people from entering. There's nothing keeping us right now from being grateful, my fellow Avalonians. I'm not talking about your bank account. I'm talking about your belief system. God is good. And you have this hope as an anchor for your soul. This is our foundation. It can't be shaken by the coronavirus. So winds may come. Okay? And it may dry up around here with no rain. And your home's resistance to the weather and earthquakes and the financial foundation may be, you know, just coming out from underneath your legs here. But it only shows the foundation for what it was. We're asking God for peace, yet we have a leaky bucket because we can't turn off our phones. So we're going to feed ourselves fear and pray for more faith? How's that working out for you? Sure, I get it. We need to be informed. I go to my whitehouse.gov. I get the stuff directly from the top to find out what's the latest, what's going on with the doctors reporting there. However, no one has any for sure answers right now. You know, we know enough right now. And you know enough about going to what's needed to get you through this situation, okay? I know I'm going to get through this. And I don't mean this in a callous way, my online listeners. Please listen. I don't mean this to be callous. I know that the Lord is my shepherd. He is my guide. And I know this, okay? The scripture says, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, this is interesting. God will guide you. And sometimes in order to get you to green pastures, he's got to bring you to a red light. It's right there in Joshua 3, where God's about to have the Jewish people do something new. And God's brought us into a new season as well. God has brought us through divorce, sickness, suicidal thoughts, the worst decisions of your life, your financial mistakes. And when we're about to enter a new season, we say to ourselves, I've never been here before. And this is where we want to know that God takes over. And yet, we feel so differently. We need to stop living by feelings and start living by faith. When God says stop, I need to stop living by sight. It's so important when we listen to the Holy Spirit, when he tells us to stop, we have gone way past planning, projecting every possible scenario. We're not prophets. You're not a prophet. And trying to be one will give you an ulcer. And I see Pepto-Bismol in your future every night if you don't stop trying to project into future that you don't control. Neither do I. Again, Joshua 3, verse 1. You know, before God was about to bring them into this new season, he told them to stop, camp, and rest. We're all going through this at the same time, but we're not all going through the same thing. I want to share something very prophetic with you. Some of you have to make very real decisions right now, okay? Stop wasting today's strength trying to fight tomorrow's battles. Stop trying to defend yourself against doomsday that may or may not happen. Yes, make decisions. God will give you the wisdom to make decisions right now. I believe this for our leaders, our healthcare workers. I think God is going to bring us together so that we fix some things that have needed to be fixed for a long time. But we have to get through this together. We cannot stop giving to our outreach partners right now. Pray about this, or we're going to miss it. We have to come together like we've never before. And this is why our church and those that helped serve this week gave out over 200 meals this week. 200 meal packets. That goes out to what we think could approximately be 800 people. This is the time to emotionally stop, to pause, and to enter in to what opportunities are here. Joshua 3, they camped for 3 days. The people were to follow the Levitical priests carrying the ark since they did not know which way to go because they'd never been here before. Is this not a word for 2020? Does this not speak to our situation right now? This gives us an amazing opportunity to rely on God like never before. We are candidates for the presence of God, and we are in a position for a miracle of empathy. Let's show up and do something awesome in our crisis. Yet it requires us to stop in this moment and the pause to practice social distancing. This is nothing new for God. It may be new to you, but it's nothing new to God, okay? God's already in our tomorrow. God says, give me my job back. God's job is tomorrow. Our job, your job, is today. Give us this day our daily bread. And we get so confused because we think we can help God in his job. And I ask this dumb question, what if I just freak out and call it prayer? God will then do something for me. When we pray this way, we are applying a spiritual dialect to a fearful position. And if we don't take this seriously, we're no different than if we just went out for a short walk to clear our head. God's telling us in Joshua 3, where he told them to stop and camp. He's telling us that. We are used to God coming close. God tells us this in Joshua 3. Since you've never been this way before, and you're not God, and by the way, this is a good thing, okay? I'm so glad I have a guy that has gone before me, so I don't have to figure all this out by myself. Jesus tells us to stop worrying about what God is already working on. For the Hebrew people, God is going to lead them into a new season, and it's not going to feel familiar. But our faith grows. It grows because it's unfamiliar places when things like this happen. When you don't know where to go, this is when you get to know God. Amen? Yeah. I feel that for someone right now that's listening. Exactly. How is my boat going to fare in this storm? Okay. Remember the story of Jesus in a boat with his disciples during the storm. Jesus doing the most unlikely thing. He's sound asleep. Oh, what an example. So the disciples stressed out, scrambling. Jesus is sleeping because he knows something that they don't know. When God says stop, the elements have no choice but to stop and obey him. When God says stop, any weapon formed against us has to bow in his name. Every storm has to stop raging. Insert God's name and whatever need that you have, his name is I am, not I was, not I will be. God in this moment, not just when I get to the other side. Amen. Yeah, that's good. Ask Lazarus what happens when God says stop. The process of decomposition was already in process. When God says stop, the consequences have to be reversed. I'm glad God says stop to speak peace into every anxious heart. He'll do that for you, my friend. We're in the same storm, but we're not in the same boat. Faith doesn't keep you from not having to go through a storm. Faith does not exempt us from all of the challenges that we're facing. But we've got somebody in the stern of the boat. And I wonder, what is God saying stop to now for you? Stop the patterns of pessimism and stop talking and take a bow of silence. Stop debating and arguing with people online. I'm not saying we dedicate ourselves to just silence. I'm saying that we all need to shut up a little bit. We're going to get through this. We will get through this. The question is, will we get better when we do eventually get through this? Just like Jesus interrupted the storm cycle while on the boat, God wants to interrupt some of our cycles. God wants miracles in our lives. Like bringing marriages together, like this church getting stronger, like speaking to people that normally don't attend church. Now is the window of opportunity. Joshua 3, verse 4, the people kept a distance of approximately 1,000 yards from the Levitical priests and the ark. I've heard of social distancing, but I've never heard of spiritual distances mentioned in Joshua chapter 3. 1,000 yards, wow. But stated in Joshua 3, why did God require the people to be so far away from this ark of the testimony or Ark of the Covenant or Ark of the Promise? Why is it that God requires a test along with the testimony? Our God tells us an important lesson. Stop declaring a testimony without a test. This is how we want things now. We want the great pectoral muscles without all the push-ups, so to speak. We want the bulging triceps without the trying. It is true that a testimony starts with a test. The ark is not very big. It's only about 27 by 27 by 50 long, with acacia wood overlaid with gold, where the wood represents humanity and the gold represents divinity. Translation, by the way, God has got you covered. And you're going to come out of this stronger, like gold. So I keep asking God, why the distance? You know, the Jewish people had been in the wilderness for 40 years. And then prior generation of leaders, they were all dead. And now they have to get through this together. 2 million people. God tells the people, I'm going to give you the gift of distance. And this is probably not what we want when we're going through something. This passage is teaching us something here. When God feels distant, he isn't. All of us, if we're honest, experience moments of unrest right now. Be honest. This is completely human and completely normal. Sometimes God uses distance and our feelings to drive us deeper into our faith. While we maintain physical distance away from each other, God is also calling for spiritual depth as well. I think we all agree that we don't merely just want to get through this. What's the point of all this? We don't want to just get through this. We want God to teach us. And it's not that God will stop doing miracles. It's just that we don't see the miracles unless we view them sometimes from a distance. Think about all the sin that God canceled. Our record of wrongs that stood against us when Jesus nailed those things to the cross. That we no longer have to endure, and therefore it is well with our soul. When God feels distant, he isn't. He's positioning you for a miracle. The ark is called the ark of testimony, the ark of Yahweh, the ark of the covenant. When you're going through something that you've never been through before, God does feel distant. He is showing us that, you know, what can't be canceled. We've shut down everything right now, except for grocery stores and you know, our Leo's pharmacy here. God is leading the Jewish people across the Jordan, entering the promised land. They are following the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is not your agreement with God. It's God's agreement with you. And let's be honest. If it was dependent on you, you couldn't make it through. Neither could I. If it was dependent on me to have perfect faith, I wouldn't have made it through. When I'm going through something I can't understand that I've never gone through before, God has me look at something in the distance that cannot be taken away, like his hope. His covenant, his blood. What's the old Methodist hymn say? My granny, I called her Nanny. My nanny was a wonderful Methodist. The hymn would say, support me in the overwhelming flood. Time to start breaking out the old stuff, the old hymns, the old scriptures. We're entering into a new thing. And we need to break out the old stuff. Now would be a good time to be more grateful, more humble, and more prayerful. We're fighting a big devil, and we need a mighty fortress in a safe place. Joshua 3:5, consecrate yourself. This is not your part, not isolation, consecration is. It's all in how you look at it. While God mended in our hearts right now, we can stop for a minute to be still. And we need to remember what God has done, what God will do. It is all found in this, in His presence. Consecrate yourself today, because tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things. In Joshua 3:5, this verse, we see that God has a job and we have a job. Tomorrow is God's description, what He does. We have to trust God with tomorrow's problems. Embrace today's process. Consecrating ourselves means a cleansing or setting apart, knowing that He is God. This is called devotion. My friends, don't stop attending church. Don't. And don't listen to the things that go on around you that say, stop. I don't do this, and I don't feel like going to church. The Bible's very clear to not stop meeting together. Let God be in the tomorrow. Even though you can't attend physically, you can listen. You can participate. You can learn how to spread the blessing. Let God be in the tomorrow and consecrate today. This is all we can do. We can't predict the path. We can walk in it, though. We can walk in it. That's what we can do. Here's the beauty of this passage. If you will consecrate yourself today, God is already in your tomorrow. We pray for all those that are in the front lines of this virus. One of the things that are changing as a result of this shutdown is we are learning to appreciate people that are very important to satisfy our basic needs. The very people of God that He's going to use stopping the virus, not the celebrities, not the athletes. We pray for the frontline people, just like those Levitical priests in Joshua 3. We're going to get through this, and we can't be so preoccupied with getting through it that we don't realize what God wants us to get out of it. Joshua chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, there at the very end of what I was reading earlier. Yes, we want this virus to go away. What about the miracle in the middle of the situation? The fact that the Jordan River is at flood stage is a sermon all by itself. Holy cow. The size of a problem creates the opportunity. When I see we are in a position for a miracle, this does not mean that the problem gets smaller, nor is it God necessarily doing something that we perceive to be very big. 2 million people, though, are following this little covenant. And if God says yes, then it is rock solid. And God promised me for the grace for today, the hope for tomorrow. So I've got to let God do His job. And we're going to get better together. And I'm going to keep preaching through this situation. God is with us in it. This is why it's called the Ark of His Presence. Be present, my friends. God is calling us to be a greater presence, not less, not dropping out of church, not quitting our fellowship with each other, not fighting for some online counseling or some small group time with someone else, not backing out of God's word and talking about spiritual matters with someone. Yes, you can say that you're connected. However, connection is about depth and not breadth. Sometimes I believe God wants to connect with us in a very deep way. A lot of folks are focusing on the deaths in the country, and I'm not talking about that in a disrespectful way. I'm just saying it's so gloom and doom with everything that's happening. But how about God wanting to connect with you, the survivor, in a deep way? Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us." We need miracles while we're in this together. We need upstream water to stop flowing. before God commanded the river to stop flowing in Joshua 3. He had to first stop what was flowing in the hearts of the people. God is saying, stop to the terrorists of anxiety that has been ruining our imagination and interrupting our rest. God is going to get you through this and keep some of this terror at a distance. God is using distance right now as a gift to call us closer to himself. It's such a great thought. This is the revelation that is right here in the text. So why did all the Levitical priests stop in the middle of the Jordan River? It's not that you just get through it. It's that you take something from it. We can't take things for granted anymore. Stop and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. His mercies are a miracle. Stop projecting on what it was. Can't take things for granted anymore. Stop framing as to what you think it will be. Save yourself the trouble and everybody else around you. They each took a stone, by the way, to be carried to the other side of the river. It's pretty cool. Let's pray. I declare this over your life right now. God is telling us today to stop. There has been a spirit of fear running wild in our lives. This has been keeping you from your peace and robbing you of your joy. Stop and learn how to trust God in it. And don't miss the miracle of today. God, we thank you for the miracles in your presence. We thank you that connections are being repaired. We pray for wisdom and unity for your people. Your presence is with us, and we know you're not far away. You are within us. You keep your word. You never break your promise. We believe in you right now. Right now, grace is available. We pray for better priorities and more peace in our walk with you, God. We're going to get through this, and we're not waiting to get to the other side before we sing. Our Redeemer is with us and for us. We declare your miracles, provision, peace, joy, love, and hope, and perspective over us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to thank you for listening in today. I mean that. We've got a lot of great things going on right now. Contact our AvalonCommunityChurch.org website and get plugged into a small group. One of our ladies, Carol Herbst, would be happy to connect you with one of our different groups we have for the ladies. I'm working with our men's group. I'd love to hear from you if you're interested. You're a guy that's out there listening. Shoot me an email and I'll get you plugged into our Wild Men West group of men made up of guys, not just from here, but even guys over on the mainland listening in. And also, we have a Bible study on Wednesday nights that is online. If you'd like to get connected, it's co-ed. And Pastor John would love to have your email. You can email Pastor John through the website, AvalonCommunityChurch.org. Get plugged into that Bible study group. We have a prayer night for men on Thursday nights, also online. So drop us an email and connect with us today. And thank you once again for being a part of our broadcast. God bless you.
Down like rain, love that I can't explain, peace that fills my soul, light in the darkest place, life even in the pain, it feels like coming home, where the Spirit of the Lord is. I've again gone is the weight of sin. Oh, sweet liberty. Praise God who saved my life. I'm bought with the blood of Christ. I have been redeemed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I am free. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I am free. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord. Chains.